All right, let's pray. Actually, I'm going to read this Psalms 5 first. It says, "But let them all be glad, those who turn aside to hide themselves in you. May they keep shouting for joy forever. Overshadow them in your presence as they sing and rejoice. Then every lover of your name will burst forth with endless joy. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy." It's Psalms 5, 11. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful word. We thank you, Father, that you love it when we're joyful. You love it when we rejoice, Father. You want your children to live in an atmosphere of joy, Father. We ask for your atmosphere of joy to just flood this place. We ask that your atmosphere, your presence, your oil would flow here, Father. We thank you that all the troubles of life, that all the worries of life do not define us, Father. That we find renewed strength in your presence. You've already defined us, Father. Our identity is in Christ. You've made us a new creation, Father. So we set aside the old way of thinking. We set aside the old pattern, Father, and we put on the new as you're constantly renewing our mind and daily renewing our mind, Father, through your word, through your presence, Father. We ask that you would do a deep restoration in this place, in your presence, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's worship. Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise a hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Comes to fight for me.
Oh, I'm gonna say in the middle of a storm, oh, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah and I will wash the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the midst. I raise a hallelujah. Oh, fear, you lost your hold on me. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Oh, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. And from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated.
Let's sing it out together. Let's sing in the middle of the storm.
Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
I sing a little louder.
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 Oh, sing a little louder.
I'll sing a little louder.
I sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder.
sing in the middle of the storm. Oh, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Oh, death is defeated, the King is alive. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Oh, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Oh, up from the ashes, hope will arise. Oh, death is defeated, the King is alive. I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. You raise it up. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Fight for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that heaven does fight for us every single day. Heaven surrounds us, Father. We praise you for that, Lord. Just continue pressing in. You just press in into your presence. We go deeper, Father. Hallelujah.
Beginning to the end, all my life is in your hands. This whole world may hold me down, but it can never drown you out. I'm not merely flesh and bone. Beginning to the end, you deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Say it's no longer. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Christ who lives within me. From beginning to the end, you deserve the glory. Glory, it's
love that, Father. I love that through the fire we are alive. Through the trials we are alive. Through every season of the soul, we are alive in you, Father. You hold us firmly in your hand.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of angels stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning
that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus rose, is the victory. Salvation in your name, Jesus. is Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise God. Read two scriptures before we come to the table of the Lord. In Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that more abundantly." Amen.
Amen.
The life of a body is in the blood. And Jesus said, "I came that you have life and have it abundantly." Whenever we come to the table of the Lord, we remember the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, where not only was his body broken, but his blood was shed. And he said, "I came to give you life, abundant life." And what we read in Leviticus, he says, the life of every human being is in the blood. Isn't it amazing that Jesus had to shed blood to give us eternal life? And the life he gives us is beyond this life, life that translates into life forever. Amen. So if you've ever encountered the Lord Jesus, if you can call him your Savior, if you can call him your Redeemer, his word says that he has given you abundant life. These elements, the bread and the wine, are reminders of the fact that we have eternal life. Not only life here, but full life. Complete life. The life of God. Life that keeps us through even when situations do not go our way. Life that gives us hope now and forever. So as we come before the table of the Lord, I want you to remember that Jesus came that you would have life, and life abundantly. Fullness of life. This is what I want you to remember as you take the Holy Communion this morning. I want to invite the brothers and sisters to come help me as we serve. The life that Jesus gives through these elements. Can someone call Brother Jerry? Yes, please go. My sister Rita? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. As you stand, I want you to be praying right now. Tell Jesus, "I thank you for life. That you came that I would have life, and a life abundant. Abundant life. Fullness of life. Fullness of life. The life of God." The word of God says that the Lord Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that was broken for you. In like manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is a representation of my blood, the blood of the new covenant. It was shed for all humanity for the remission of sins. As often as you take this, you remember the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus. We thank you that there is life in the blood. By virtue of his shed blood, we receive the life of God. So this morning, as we take these, we ask, oh God, that it will be true to us all of our days, that the life of God runs through our veins. The life of God runs through our veins. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What I could fathom, such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to end my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. And hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Death has lost its grip on me. You
ahead and bless him. Thank him for his life, the life he's given us. Abundant life. Abundant life. Fullness of life. Life eternal. Life eternal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Let's participate in the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, that by your blood we have life and life to the full. We bless you, Jesus. Let's participate in the bread together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt you. We lift you high. Come on and bless his name. Magnify him. Extol him. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you wash our sin, that you make us white as snow. We thank you for your goodness to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Christian Worship Center. You may greet one another in the presence and the love of the Lord.
To our 9 a.m. service. Who's excited? Come on. I wanted to say that this is our first ever 9 a.m. service, but our history, we had a 9 a.m. service many, many years ago, so it almost feels like we're going back in time, but in reality, we're excited that God is working in this place, and we are growing, and we are making room, and this is the first time that we have two services on a Sunday morning. Come on, let's give God one more shout of praise. You know, I enjoyed it because during the worship you have some extra room to move around and, you know, love God with your body language and all of that. It's so good to be able to have that. And like I said, we're excited for what God is doing. And I just want to welcome you to this place. If this is your first time visiting, we extend to you a very warm welcome. We're excited for what God is doing. We're excited for this place, for this community. And, you know, there's a few things that are going around in this church that I want to just make a point about. We are entering into our Easter season. Easter season, and it's an exciting time at Christian Worship. We have a few events that you see up on the screen. The first one is actually this coming Saturday. It is our kids' egg hunt. We call it the Eggstravaganza, and we actually have a slide on that. It's going to be April 13th. It's going to be right here at 10 a.m. It's going to last for 2 hours, and there's going to be a lot of fun things going on for kids. And so this is an awesome time to invite your neighbors, your friends, some coworkers who you know have kids. It's really just a really cool, fun event. There's going to be kids' worship, games, snacks. We're going to have an egg hunt out in the yard, and it's going to be a great time. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up this Saturday at 10 a.m. And also, since we have ladies' brunch this Saturday, also works out perfectly because the ladies can drop off their kids here at 10 a.m. and then go to Sister Rita's house for ladies' brunch and then come back to pick up kids at noon. And then we also have, obviously, our Easter service, which is April 21st. We're going to be here at 9 and 11 a.m. And then Good Friday, we meet here on a Friday. That's going to be at 6:30. We're going to do communion and remember the Lord's death and then celebrate the resurrection 3 days later on Sunday. Who's excited for Easter? It's going to be an amazing time. With that said, let's invite the ushers up front as we prepare to give an offering of thanks to God with our tithes and offering. We're going to worship God with giving. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and that's really the goal that we want. We want our pure hearts before God, and let's bless his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, God. We thank you for this place. We thank you that you are here working, God. We bless your name, God. We give back to you, God, the blessings that you have already given to us, Lord. God, I pray that we would have a pure heart, God. We would have clean hands, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, as we worship you, even with our giving. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, church.
Brave souls who woke up an hour earlier today, came this morning. Pat yourself on the back. Good job. It's good to worship. It's good to, you know, there's early people, late people. Neither one is wrong, but we are different. Amen. Some of you like to stay up late. Some of you like to wake up way earlier, but praise God that we all can come together and worship God. I'm so excited what God is doing this year in our church, and this is the one of the fruits of it. And I want to thank all the people who prayed with us very hard, who worked with us very hard. There has been countless hours been put in to manage this growth into two services from one service, and it's just God's work and it's God's grace. We want to give him all the glory and all the credit. Amen. God is good, and it's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be part of the church. It's a good time to plug in and serve and worship God and with your entire family. I'm also excited because we are starting a new series this Sunday. How many were blessed last Sunday with Brother Don speaking the word? Amen. What a powerful, powerful message. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Michael shared a powerful word. And we're going to start a series that's going to go for at least 5 Sundays. And we simply called it Life. And that's the word behind me. And this morning, we're going to start talking about life of purpose. And purpose is something I love to talk about because it what wakes me up in the morning. And we're going to dive into the scripture. We're going to look at a man named Apostle Paul. And he had a life of a great purpose. He has a life of great focus. And he was a man who knew what he was doing. I had actually a really cool story to share before. It wasn't me. It was supposed to be a friend of mine sharing. But he's going to make it to 11 a.m. service. So if you want to hear it, you have to stay for 11 o'clock service because he was supposed to jumpstart my message, but I'm going to have to do without him this morning at 9 o'clock. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. I'm going to read from New Living Translation. Apostle Paul writes, he says the following, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with a purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Second scripture I want to read to you is out of Philippians chapter 3. These two scriptures are going to be a basis for our message this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 and verses 10 through 14. Apostle Paul says again, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Father, we invite you this morning, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. As we look into your word and as we look into our life, and as we look to sharpen our focus and sharpen our purpose and our direction, our walk with you, I pray, God, that this series and this message starting this morning, God, will begin the work of the Holy Spirit to take us to the next level, Father, and to walk with you in our life of purpose, in a life of following after you with all of our hearts, God. That our life will not be people who are shadow boxing, people who are just running with no destination, God, but will be people who do things on purpose, with meaning, with passion. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning. We invite you in Jesus' name. Amen. Purpose. Purpose is an amazing thing because it gives meaning to everything we do. I don't know about you, I am fascinated by history. I love history. And when I read history and you read through different wars that happened or different heroic things that people did, and one thing becomes very clear is that when people have clear purpose in their life or in their task or in their mission, people are able to accomplish almost impossible things if they know clearly their purpose. Right? Now, the reverse is true also. When people have no purpose, the smallest things that could come so easy or could be easily accomplished become almost impossible because they are pointless. Have you ever met people who lost their sense of purpose? There's another word for that, is depression. That's not all depression is, but that's one of it. When nothing means anything, when smallest thing become this huge thing, so you just can't do it because you don't see point of it. It's useless, it's pointless, it's just, why bother? Why get up from bed in the morning? And so purpose is everything. Purpose is that fire, it's a gasoline in your car, it's what drives our life. And Apostle Paul, when he talks about himself throughout his letters as he's writing to the church, he writes some fascinating thoughts. And first he says, we read in Corinthians, says, I'm not a guy who just kind of practicing for nothing. I'm not like a guy who's shadow boxing. When I do things, I run with a purpose. When I exert my energy, there is a purpose for it, there is a task, there is meaning, and that's why I do that. That's what keeps me going. And listen, purpose will keep you going through everything. And when you lost your sense of purpose, you can't go through a regular day, because when we lose sense of purpose, we lose sense of meaning, we lose sense of why. The other way of looking at purpose is why. It's why behind everything. Why do we do this? Why do we start on this? Why do we bother? Why do we work so hard? Why do we do... It's why behind everything we do. That's purpose. That's why, as people, we have this intrinsic need to know why. If you have little kids, you learn it very quickly. Daughter, clean up your room. Why? Come for breakfast. Why? We're going shopping. Why? You see, since our earliest age, since the youngest age, we have this intrinsic need to know purpose, to know why. Because why gives us significance, it gives us meaning, it sets the parameters of our life, it tells us who we are. Because if you do not know why, you lose sense of your identity. And when you lose sense of your identity, your life becomes meaningless, and the life becomes very, very difficult. So purpose is powerful. And life lived on purpose is extremely powerful. And I want to talk to you this morning, how do we figure out our purpose? How do we get there? Another thing about purpose is your, it's not just your why, it's purpose is your yes. Let me explain to you what I mean. You know, as followers of Christ, we know, as when you grew up in church, or even when you just grew up as a kid, you know what was the most often word you heard when you were a child? No. Right? Don't do that. No. Can I put my finger in a power outlet? No. Can I go and play in the street? No. I mean, we it's the word that parents use very, very often. And it's actually very significant, because even as we grow up in Christ, when we get saved, it's actually something that we need to hear a lot, because we need to train ourselves, we need to follow Christ and please Him with everything we do in our life. So we know we didn't do certain things because they're not pleasing to God. We don't follow in sin. We don't follow in debauchery. We don't go to those places that destroy and demoralize. We don't do things. We have a lot of no. Ten Commandments is no, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. So we know, I know, most of believers, most of Christians, I think if you are here, you know what's your no, right? But you see, purpose, I'll get to that. But you see, purpose is not just your no, purpose is your yes. Because just not to do something is not a big enough reason to wake up in the morning. Right? To wake up in the morning with passion, with joy, to want to go through your life, you have to know your yes. You have to know what you're saying yes to. Not just what you're saying no to, but what am I saying yes to? What am I following? What God has called me to do? What my life is all about? It's my yes. It's what I do. It's who I am.
And that's why, again, purpose is so important. Purpose is so crucial to following Christ and living a life that's so meaningful. You see, purpose is more than just a plan. I'm going to talk a little bit about what purpose is before we're going to talk about how to get there. Purpose is more than a plan. You see, we worry about plans a lot. We want to have a plan how to get from here to there, but if you live long enough, you know that most of our plans don't work out as we plan them to be, right? And those of us who are really good planners, we get very frustrated when things don't go according to our plan. Those of us who are not planners like me, we just go along with things. But purpose is bigger than plan. Because, you see, God has a singular focus for you, but He could have 500 plans to get you there. Let me explain to you what I mean. You see, if you look at people in the Bible, you look these great men and women, or even just very common men and women who God has called to do something very big and very uncommon. Whether it's a judge who was nobody and God said, hey, you gotta get up and you gotta do this and that, or it was a King David. Let's take King David, for example, right? God has called him when he was probably a teenager. God has anointed him to be a king. God said, this is your purpose. You are a man after my own heart. I selected you. I picked you up at a youngest in the family. No great provenance. No great history. But I raised you up to be a king of Israel. But you see, as every one of us, we mess up. And guess what? David messed up also on his way to become a king. And guess what? He messed up even more after he became a king. So if God had only planned for him, we would have screwed up the plan every single day. But you see, God's purpose is bigger than that. You see, I like to think of purpose not as a plan, not as just a map. I like to think of it as a GPS. You know, if you use a GPS on your phone or in the car, whatever. You know what happens when you take a wrong turn? It doesn't say, hey, you idiot, you're done. Go home. You're not going anywhere. You've blown it. I mean, some of us need to hear that when we drive, but that's not what GPS says, right? It simply says rerouting. And this is true. This is what's so amazing about God's purpose, that even when I mess up, even when I blow it, even when I'm in my worst, God always has another plan to get me to His original purpose. Amen? He always has that. And that's the grace of God. That's the power of God. Because if God had only one plan, then none of us would have made it. God has a singular purpose. But He has many plans to get you there. And that's why, you know, even the scripture, what we love to read in the Old Testament says, I know the plans I have for you. The word plans there is actually not the plans in the meaning that we have. It's an idea of a purpose. There is a plan with a reason that I have for you. That's what really He's talking about there. So it's not a plan singular. God has many plans, but He has a singular purpose for every single one of us. There is a reason why we were created. And what's amazing about a purpose is that it's something God has created us for. David writes Psalm 139 that before I was born, you saw my unformed substance. You knew every single day of my life before I took my first breath. You see, even before you were born, before your parents got married, before your parents were born, God knew you. God thought about you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God thought about you. God has created you for a reason. That reason is His purpose. And the more we clarify and immerse ourselves in that purpose, the easier it is to live your life. You see, I am a firm believer that we don't need more strength in our life. To go through life, we need more purpose in our life. Because if I have a purpose, if you have a purpose, you will go through anything. You know, if you read about stories, people who went through World War II, some people went through hell. That's why purpose enables people to fall on a grenade to save their comrades, because that's purpose. Okay? You can do things that you would have never done without a purpose, because you have a purpose in mind. And when you know your purpose, you'll go through difficulties, through trials, through persecutions. You'll go through hardships. You'll wake up before you can ever wake up. You'll stay up late because you know that you know that you know this is what God has called me to do. This is why I'm alive. That's power of purpose. And if you ever walked around in a garage sale or anywhere else, and if you ever found an object that you have no idea what that is, right? You look at it and say, this looks cool, but I have no idea what that is. The best way to figure it out is to find a sticker, right? To find a label, to find a manufacturer, to find a creator of that object, of that thing. And you go and you begin to research, what is this thing? What does it do? What is it made for? So in the same way, church, I'm going to talk to you for the remaining of my time right now. How do we get our purpose? How do we figure out? Some of you are living it. Some of you say, I have no idea. Some of you maybe already lived a long, long life, and you say, I still have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I get married, I raise my kids, I finish my school, I'm saving for retirement. And all those things are good, but listen, we figure out very quickly that those things in itself are not big enough purpose. Right? Just saving enough money to go through life is not a big enough purpose. If you think it is, go ask Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. When they realized that they had enough more money they could ever spend, what they begin to do, they begin to give it out. Because all your life you think that, you know, as soon as I finish my school, that's going to give me a purpose. As soon as I get married, that's going to give me a purpose. As soon as I save enough money, as soon as I raise my kids, put them through school, marry them off, raise my grandkids, and it never ends. But all those things are a purpose, but they're not the purpose that God has called you to be and called you to do. They're not big enough. And listen, when we lose purpose in life, everything becomes difficult. Even when you get married, to keep each other happy, it's not a big enough purpose. And you'll discover that very quickly. You know why you don't take, you first of all, none of us takes what have what it takes to fill the needs of our spouse completely. We don't have what it takes. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that even in marriage, there is a bigger purpose. A purpose just to keep each other happy, it's not big enough. To build a nice house is not big enough. To raise nice kids is not big enough purpose. There is bigger things. You were created for more. You need to know why. And that's why people go in this, they figure it out sometimes early, sometimes later in life. They go in this big, big discovery. They say, I'm going to find myself, right? You heard people saying, I'm going to find myself. But it doesn't really work, because to find the purpose, you don't look within. You look at the Creator. And that takes me, church, to, I just call them steps to find your purpose. They're not exclusive three steps. They're not necessarily in order. But this is what I found in Scripture and the life of people of God, what helps us to discover our purpose. And I want to spend the remaining time this morning talking to you about it. First step to finding a purpose is pursuit of God. Pursuit of God. As I said, you don't look within to find your purpose. You don't look at other people to tell you what your purpose is. You look at Creator. And I love the scripture that David writes in Psalm 25. He says, the secret of the Lord, or in that translation says, the Lord confides in those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. Listen, your purpose in life is a byproduct of pursuit of God. The more you know Jesus, and it's not just to discover God's purpose, it's actually to live out God's purpose in your life. You can't do it alone, because usually God's purpose for your life is bigger than you can do yourself. So you can't do it by yourself. So if you are sitting here and say, Pastor, I have no idea what my purpose is. Or you may say, I have a vague idea, but I don't really know. You know where it starts? It starts in the prayer room. It starts in your personal walk with God. It starts with you getting to know the one who created you, a passionate pursuit of God. Because listen, the more you know your Creator, the more you know your why. The more you know Jesus who has saved you and rescued you out of life of darkness and sin, the more you know your why. It starts with pursuit of God. Listen, I wish there'll be some kind of easy shortcut. Just go buy a book or go take this class. It doesn't work like that. It starts with you getting to know the one who has made you. And as you get to know Him, as you get to know the one who has saved you, has made you, has created you, who has dreamed about you before you were born, you begin to get synchronized with His heart. And in seeing Him, you begin to see yourself. You see, it works like that in Scripture all the time. But Jesus said, somebody came to Him and says, hey, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your might, all your strength, all your understanding. And then says, and then you're to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it starts with loving God. Because if I don't love God, you know what happens? If I don't love God, I can't love myself. Because if I look at myself in the mirror, I see mistakes, I see failures, I see brokenness. I don't see too many things I like. But when I see it myself through the face of Jesus, when I look at His face, and when I see what He sees in me, I can love what I see. And when I love what I see, I can love my neighbor. Because listen, I can't love my neighbor if I don't love myself. Because you can't give somebody what you don't have. So it starts again. It's the same process. It starts with loving God. It starts with pursuit of God. If you want to know clearly what you're called to do, pursue God. Get to know God. You know, I went through Bible college because that's what the classical way people feel like when they're called to ministry, they have to go to Bible school. And I, you know, you would think that people who are in Bible school, they really know they're going for life of ministry, right? Wrong. I talked to most of my classmates. Most of them had no idea what they're going to do. I had no idea what I'm going to do. I didn't want to be a pastor. That's a confession this morning. I did not want to be a pastor. I knew God has called me to ministry. I knew the bigger picture. I had no details. And I had no idea what I'm really supposed to be studying for, except I knew that God has called me to ministry. That's all I knew. Some people were there who were really, really, they knew exactly what they're going for. I didn't. But listen, your purpose is not found in taking a class. And your purpose, you know, when people talk about purpose, some people assume it's only like, it's only ministry, that, oh, if you're in ministry, then you're purpose. If you're not in ministry, it's not purpose. That's not right. God has a calling for every single one of you. And that calling is bigger. Listen, it's bigger than your job. I mean, many times, most of us, we have to have a job to pay our bills, but it's not often that your job necessarily aligns with your purpose. It's something we do to pay for our life, but our purpose is bigger than my job. Because my purpose is bigger than money. And listen, one of the best ways to start thinking about your purpose, I love Purpose-Driven Life book. Anybody read it? Rick Warren, great author. And I love how he opens the book, chapter 1, Purpose-Driven Life. There's one small sentence that says, it's not about you. It's not about you. If you think your purpose is about how I'm going to get happier and richer and more educated, you're already lost. You're already going completely wrong direction. It's not about you. Your purpose is not about you. So if you have a purpose in your mind, figure it out, it's about you, you can cross that out this morning. Start again. Go back to square one. And square one is in God's presence. Listen, I can't tell you what your purpose is unless God told me, which He didn't. You have to figure out for yourself before God. You have to pursue God. And that's how God designed it to be, because listen, God wants a relationship, right? Our faith is not in mechanics. Our purpose is not some kind of big statement you put on the wall. It's not some kind of formula you figure out. It's not a combination. It's birthed in relationship. It's birthed in pursuit of God. The more I know my Creator, the more I know why. The more I know what He has made me for. It starts with pursuit of God. And as you figure that out, your purpose becomes clearly, clearly visible. Purpose is a byproduct of pursuit of God. Now what happens when you begin to pursue God? That's why I'm calling steps to getting purpose. You start pursuit. Second step is passion. And I simply call passion is getting excited about things that God is excited about. You see, the byproduct of pursuit of God is always passion, because when you get to know Jesus, you know Jesus has a purpose and passion and meaning and joy. And He's working. Listen, He's working this world. He is building His kingdom. It's a spirit realm. You can't see it. You see the manifestation of it many times. But God is in the business of building His kingdom. God is in the business of rescuing people out of darkness into the light. God is working on it every single day. Whether you're involved in it or not, God is doing His work. Listen, if you say no to the purpose of God, somebody else is going to say no. Somebody else is going to say yes, and they will take your place. But God will fulfill His purpose. But what's amazing, when I begin to pursue God, when I begin to get to know Him, not what my parents told me I was supposed to do, not what somebody else told me I was supposed to do, but when I heard in the prayer room myself that saying, this is what you need to do. This is what I called you to do. And sometimes it could be a word, it could be an image, it could be a vision, it could be impression. God speaks in so many ways. It could be a dream. Or it could be just you know that this is what you got to do. It comes as a strong sense of urgency over you. But what happens when you begin to pursue God, you get excited about things God is excited about. So when you go to your job, when you go to your marketplace job, when you go to church, when you go to your neighborhood, when you go to school, you begin to be excited what God is doing there. You begin to discern that God is doing something there. Oh yes, it's a secular business. It could be just a regular school. But you begin to figure out that God is doing something, and you begin to get excited about it. And when you're excited about the fire begins to burn. The fire begins to burn your life. You begin to move to where God has for you. And listen, another side note, it's never too late to figure out your purpose. Amen? It's never too late. Remember, God's purpose is not a map. It's a compass. It's a GPS. He'll reroute you. You know, Moses didn't start leading people of Israel until he was 80. Right? Oh, God talked to him earlier, but he had his own ways of doing it, right? But even at his old age, God was able to redeem everything that was lost. So listen, if you're sitting here thinking, I just wasted years of my life not knowing what I'm supposed to do, it's not too late. Go back to square one. Go back to the drawing room, which is presence of God. Begin to pursue Him. Begin to hear from Him. Begin to receive from Him. Begin to get excited what Jesus is excited about. Begin to notice that. And you're well on the way to figure out what He has made you to do. You see, passion is not a... Passion, it's not an Excel spreadsheet. It's not some kind of numbers. It's a relationship. It's a fire burning within you. It's a passionate relationship with God. It's living. It's exciting. It's joyful. It's not boring, you know, checklist things. Oh, I did this. I got to do this. It's exciting. You know, your yes is supposed to be a lot more exciting than your no, right? Yes is what wakes you up in the morning. Yes is what makes me, what tells me, I got to do this. I'm going to keep going. It's hard. It's difficult. It's unbearable, but I'm going to keep going because I know that God has called me to do that. And listen, it could be a huge thing, or it could be a small thing in man's definition, but not in God's definition. You know, there is a lady in the Bible. Her name is Anna. And you find her in the Gospel of Luke, I believe, or Matthew. And she was a widow. Her husband died a long time ago. And Bible says she spent her days and nights in the temple of God. And she was praying and fasting for the coming of Messiah. And listen, I could bet that if you were to pick out the most famous people in Israel, nobody could had no idea who she is. No idea. And I believe Holy Spirit made it a huge point that we're gonna highlight her story. We know very, very little about her. We just know that she figured out in her relationship with God that her purpose was to pursue God for the coming of the Messiah for the nation of Israel. The Bible says she faithfully went to the temple and she prayed and she fasted and she prayed and she fasted. She didn't have a website. She didn't have a big campaign. Nobody knew who she was, but she was fulfilling her purpose. And God said, listen, God was so impressed with her that she's in the pages of Scripture. And she was, I believe, instrumental that Jesus came in the time He came because somebody prayed, because somebody fasted. A woman we don't know. A woman most people had no idea. She was never mentioned again. So listen, your purpose is not, you know, when people think of purpose meaning, oh, we're going to go change the world. And I'm all for changing the world. But your changing the world could mean changing the life of one single person. That could be a purpose. I don't know what it is. But we shouldn't think of a purpose as just, oh, if it's not big enough, it's probably not a purpose. No, you think what you get it from God. Listen, you download it in God's presence. Because listen, if you want to find out your purpose is, you know what you're gonna be doing? You're gonna be helping people who know the purpose is accomplish their purpose. So get in the presence of God and begin to pursue Him. And listen, it could take you a couple days, it could take you years. But don't live your life without the why. It's not about you. It's about making difference in the kingdom of God. That's kind of general guidelines of God's purpose. God's purpose is bigger than you. It's bigger than serving self-interests. It's bigger than that. It's going to change somebody's life. It's going to impact. It might have a huge impact visibly right now, or you might never know the huge impact until heaven. But God has a purpose. I remember, how many of you heard of Dwight Moody? Right? A great evangelist. We have a Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, a legacy of his ministry. But he preached to more people in his time than any other person. Before there was internet, before there was a radio that was really, really spread worldwide, before airplanes, he had a humongous ministry. I could say that millions of people are probably saved because of that one man. But you see, Dwight Moody, he didn't grow up. He didn't get saved and decide, I'm going to be in ministry. That wasn't his call. That wasn't his intention in life. He was a very ambitious man, and you know who he wanted to be? He always wanted to be a salesman. And his relative gave him a job selling shoes, and he was very good at it. He was a young man. He was one of the best salesmen the department store had in Boston. But one day, he was going to church. This was regular churchgoer, very unimpressive. Nobody knew Dwight Moody. But his Sunday school teacher, who taught him, he kept visiting Moody at his store. And he said, Dwight, God has something bigger for you than this. Dwight, God has something bigger for you than that. And keep going after and going after and going after. And eventually, Dwight Moody says, that's all I can take. And he surrendered his life. He says, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you have for me, I'm yours. And God used him to reach millions of people for Christ. His legacy is still living as Moody Bible Institute, the Moody Publishers, and Moody Radio. And that's over 100 years ago. Now, I forgot the name of his Sunday school teacher. I wish I remember I did. Nobody knows his name, but everybody knows Dwight Moody, right? In Christian circle. And listen, that one man who was obedient to the purpose of God, God said, you got to go and talk to the young boy. And people say, he's a teenager. I mean, what's the big deal? But he took his purpose seriously. I'm going to go and I'm going to speak life over the young man. He probably couldn't imagine his wildest dreams that Moody's going to be Dwight Moody. He had no idea. He just knew that God has called him to talk to the young man. And he faithfully did it time after time after time after time until God has taken hold of Moody's life. See, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't this huge task. It was never publicized. It was never, but the impact is eternal. And listen, when you are on a mission to fulfill the purpose of God, it's not always going to be like butterflies in your stomach and goosebumps and all this exciting stuff. No. Sometimes you will feel like, most of the time, I should say, it will feel like very hard work. Because listen, anything God has called you to do is not easy. If that would be easy, everybody else would be doing it. It's not. And many times, you won't see the fruit of your labor until you're going to see the face of Jesus. Many times you are pursuing and fighting for something so hard and you say, God, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I have no idea why. I have no idea why. But I just know I need to do this, and you keep doing it and you keep doing it and you keep doing it. Listen, if you know the way you're supposed to do, keep doing it. Put your passion, put your heart into it, put all you are into that. Because if God has called you to do that, just keep doing it. One day in heaven, it's all going to make sense. Apostle Paul says, here we see dimly, as through a smoke screen. We don't see clear details. We don't know all exactly how pieces fit together, but one day we will see so clearly. And that's why Apostle Paul says, I forget what lies behind. I run forward what runs ahead. I count all other things as garbage. You know what he counted as garbage? I mean, people love to quote that verse. Just read a couple of verses before. Now he starts, he says, I'm a Jew of the Jews. If there is a poster boy for Jewish nations, that was me. If there was ever a poster boy for being a zealot for Jewish law, that was me. If there was anybody who was more qualified to be an expert in Jewish law, that was me. I was born as a purebred Jew. I was raised and I was educated under the best possible teacher, the best possible rabbi of his time. That was me. And then, know what he says? But those things that I counted as gain, those accolades, those PhDs on my wall, those titles I had that I thought were a big deal, compared to knowing Christ, they're garbage. And he says, in fact, everything is garbage compared to knowing Christ. I count all things as nothing so I can achieve one thing. So I can get hold of that by which Christ has captivated my heart. So I can get to why. So I can stand before God and say, God, this is exactly why you created me. This is what I did. And it says, I will throw everything out of my life so I can get a hold of that by which Christ has laid hold of my life. That's the power of purpose. And that's the cost of purpose. Because purpose will cause you to say no to good things so you can say yes to God things. Purpose will cause you to say no to some relationships because they're drawing you away. They're holding you back. But you know what God has called you to do. You say, no, I can't do that. Because I'm called to something else. And one of the biggest enemies of purpose is competing affections. We are so busy. Don was talking about it last Sunday. We're so distracted with so many things in my life. That's why Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do. He didn't say I have 5 things, 7 things, 20 things. One thing I do. I do one thing. Do you know the one thing? Do you know your why? Do you know your yes? Do you know that one thing that is bigger than everything else in your life? That just one thing. if you don't begin to pursue God, begin to say, God, what is it? God, what is it all about? And listen, you know what's amazing about God's purpose is that it doesn't matter how big or small it is in human eyes, you will never be more joyful living than when you're living fulfilling God's purpose. Right? There's never bigger joy than when you know that I'm doing this, what I called to do. I'm doing what God has created me for this. I'm living it. And listen, I don't care if it's big. I don't care if it pays much. But this is enough. One thing. Listen, it's worth giving up everything for. That's what Apostle Paul says. I'm okay giving everything up for that. I did give up everything for that, he said. So I can attain and lay hold of that by which Christ has laid hold of my life. And listen, church, I pray that God wakes up our hearts. I pray that we're not going to be people who are running like a hamster in a wheel. I don't know about you, I feel like that a lot, right? It's like, oh wow, it's already 10 o'clock, oh, it's 6 p.m. Where the day has gone? Where is the week has gone? Where is the month has gone? It's 2019 already, right? It's already April. And you know what's, when you know, one of the things you know when you're living in purpose? That time flies and you don't care. Right? Because you say, hey, listen, this is what I was made for. I don't care that I'm old already. I don't care that I know I'm doing what God has called me to do. And yes, I'm getting older. Yes, it's already January. Yes, it's already next year. Who cares? I'm excited to be alive. I'm excited to do this because I'm doing things for God's purpose. That's the power of it. And listen, if you're struggling to find your way in life, you go back to the drawing room. You go back to the presence of God. You begin to seek the face of Jesus. As you seek the face of Jesus, you will get excited about things He is excited about. He's going to begin to reveal His purpose to you. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, I couldn't hear. I couldn't figure out. If God has created you for it, He has a way of letting you know that. Amen? He has that. Don't worry about it. We so often people say, you know, what's God's will for my life? And we pray and we sweat over it. Just seek God. Listen, God will find you anywhere. If you have a right heart, He'll find you anywhere you are. You know, God found Moses shepherding the sheep. God found David shepherding the sheep. God found Gideon hiding in the cave. God found Matthew raising taxes and ripping people off. God found Peter fishing. God will find you. Listen, God will find you. If you pursue God, God will find you. If you pursue God, if you sincerely seek His face, and above all things, before all things, if you love God above all things, He'll just drop it in your lap. You could be farthest thing away from it. He'll find you. Listen, God knows your address. He knows your social security number. He knows everything about you. You don't have to worry about that. He will find you. Just pursue Him. Seek Him. And you will get your why. You'll never be more excited to be alive. I was talking to a man who was in his mid-70s. And he said, listen. And he figured out his purpose. And he said, listen, I feel like I'm 20 right now. I finally feel like I was made for this. And it gives him passion. It gives him energy. It wakes him up in the morning. He's not focusing on aches in his body. And he's not going to a restaurant, sitting with a bunch of his buddies and think about the good old days. No, that's not what he's doing. He says, I wake up and I'm excited to be alive because I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. He figured out late in his life, but it's never too late. Listen, it's never too late. Amen. Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've called us for purpose, God. I thank you, God, we're not people who have no reason. We're not people who have no meaning or no significance or no identity, God. We're people who are, our very core of our identity is grounded and founded in who you are, Jesus. And this morning, Father, we came again to ask you why. Some of us have better idea than others, but we all can use a refresher and more clarity and more resolution and more brightness in it, God. I pray, Father, that no matter where we are in our journey to discover what you made us for, that you begin to work by your Holy Spirit, drawing us in to the place where we can find who we are, God, and what we have made us for. I thank you, God, for these great men and women here who already figured out it's not about them, that's where they're here. I thank you for these people who sacrifice and they pay the price and they show up and they work hard because they know that life is more than just paying the bills and going back to work, Father. Lord, I can confidently say that everybody's here, they're already well on the way figuring out what you've called us to do. But I pray, Father, right now that divine clarity will come, divine captivation. I pray, Father, just as you got hold of Apostle Paul's heart, as his your purpose in his life was so clear, was so powerful, that when he saw that, when he realized that, he could say no to everything else because he said yes to you. Because your yes is so much more exciting. Your yes is exciting, more exciting than sin. It's more exciting than the life in the world. It's more exciting, more thrilling than anything that out there world has to offer. And God, this morning we want to hear your yes. We want to hear your why for our lives, for our families, for our marriages, for our children. God, we want to hear yes. We want to hear why. I pray, Father, that whoever's already figuring out, I pray for more passion and more fire. I pray, God, that we don't lose sight. I pray that we don't lose sight of that by which you grabbed our hearts. That we never forget. We never let other things distract us. We will forget all other things. We will not count anything worthy, nowhere near comparable to the greatness of knowing you and knowing what I was made for and pursuing that and giving my life and laying down my life on your altar. Say, God, whatever you want to do, it's yours. It's yours, God. I know one of the best places to find purpose is surrender. That's what Apostle Paul did. That's what he meant by what he said, I count all things as garbage compared to knowing Christ. Father, we help us to come to the place in our heart when we say, God, my life, my family, my children, my house, my bank account, my years of my life, Lord, they're yours. They're yours, God. They are on your altar. Whatever you want to do with that, God, you have our yes. You have our yes. Jesus, you have my yes. No matter where you want to take us, no matter what you want to do with my life, no matter the cost, you have my yes. If you're ready to pray that prayer, just pray before God right now. I feel such a work of the Holy Spirit right now, and he's awakening right now. And some of you, he spoke his purpose over your life a long time ago, but you took a wrong turn and you forgot, and you said, God could never possibly use me again because I took a wrong turn, because I've messed up, because I'm broken. God is awakening that right now. God is awakening right now in your heart. Just come to the place of surrender. Say, God, all I have left is yours. Take it. Do whatever you want to do with it. Take me anywhere you call me to go. I'll go. I'll do. Don't say it lightly. But as Holy Spirit prompts your heart, surrender. Surrender. Lay down his altar for his glory and his kingdom. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. We agree with your purpose. We say yes to you this morning. We say yes to your plan and your purpose and your will and your desire for us. We say yes to them, God. we agree. You have our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. We have fellowship right now. Please stick around. Take your time. Talk to family members. In about 15, 20 minutes, 11 o'clock crowd will come in. Make sure you say hello to them. Make sure there is a connection and fellowship. And there is a great coffee out there. Thank you so much for coming. Be blessed.